Today on Ask the Podcast Coach, we're talking about website speeds. We're talking about backing up your WordPress and getting hacked. We're talking about...
Let's get ready to podcast.
Alrighty, good Saturday morning, last show of 2013. Welcome to Ask the Podcast Coach, where we answer all your questions about podcasting. I am Dave Jackson from the School of Podcasting, and joining me over there is the one, the only Jim Cullison from theaverageguy.tv. Jim, how you doing?
Great, Dave. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you. I'm looking at everything. I think we're all...
Yeah, looks good.
Yeah, everything's good and handy, and I laugh because I will have to splice it together. I hit record on everything except the actual thing that records the show.
Oh, nice.
Because I was like, go, 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 and then I started hitting my brand new iPad that Santa brought me. So I don't have to squint anymore when I'm doing things like that. But hey, look at that. Wow, right out of the gate, we have a caller. Dave, shut that stupid music off. And let's go right to our caller, which is, he dropped. That was interesting. I turned around and was like, oh, there he is. And then I went to hit talk and, but it was exciting, wasn't it?
It was for a moment.
A great way to share that. I'm like, oh, look, we got a caller. And, but yeah, Santa brought me, December was good to me. I got some money for Christmas, which is fun, and paid off some bills and got a new guitar case because the other one that had been around for 7 years and had been dropped 8 million times and all the other fun stuff. My wife got me a new guitar case because I care very much about my guitars. And she's like, why is like one of your most prized possessions in this thing that's like duct taped together?
Mm-hmm.
So how about you? How was Santa to you?
Yeah, no, really good. In fact, I just posted I did a post out to my gear page. So if you go to theaverageguy.tv/gear, anytime I try to get something, I try to review it. You know, it's just one of those things because you never know. You know, right. It's not as exciting stuff. But I got a box by surprise, and it came with a brand new Logitech C920. So for the video podcast. And by the way, the prices have come down on those. Those used to be like $100-$120, and now they are...
Hi, Dave.
Oh, there we go. We got someone.
We do. Hey, let's see. Ending in 8733. You're on the air. How's it going? Maybe there's a delay. Caller, you're on the air.
Hello.
Howdy. You're on the air.
Hi, Dave.
How are you?
This is Doug. I'm doing fine. Thanks.
Good.
I asked the question. How do you put the graphics on the side of your page?
Ah.
Those little small 300x300 graphics.
Right. What you want to do, so the question is, this is the, I was telling Jim, I'm like, some guy came into my chat. I'm like, hey, call me back in 10 minutes. What he's talking about is if you go to schoolofpodcasting.com, you'll see where I have certain images that just stay on the right-hand side of the screen. Now, the tricky part is that's in what's called the sidebar. And there's no, not that I know of, there might be a plugin for this. There's no way to just click over in the sidebar and upload an image and things like that. So what you're going to do, this is how I do it. And Jim, if you have any input on this, maybe there's a better way of doing this. Mm-hmm. I go in and I create just a blank post, and I go into, you know, I click on the button for the media and I upload my image. And then if I'm linking to something, I will click on the image, and then you click on the little button for the chain link that looks like a link. And I'll type in the link where I want it to go, and be sure to fill in where it says like descriptions and things like that. That is great for sight impaired people, better known as blind. And there actually is a distinction between that. Some people are sight impaired, some people are blind. And but that is always very helpful. And then the problem is what you need is that code. And so in WordPress, there's the one tab that I think is called visual and the other one is called text. And when you switch to text, everything's going to get ugly and you'll see all this, you know, a link to your image and things like that. Copy that whole code. And what I usually do is I'll open up like Notepad or something just so I have it somewhere, because inevitably I'll then copy something else and I'll lose what I'd copied. So I'll paste that into Notepad just to have it as a safekeeping. And then if you go under WordPress into Appearance and then Widgets, the way you put any kind of code on your website in your sidebar is to drag what's called a text widget over to your sidebar. So you would drag that there, open it up, and then paste that code into the text widget. And then if there's a save button, click save. I don't know that you have to save it anymore. I think it does it automatically. And then just go out to your website. And I will start a new tab, and I'll have the kind of the front page of my website there, and I'll have the back end open in another tab. And you can go out to the front page, refresh your screen, and you should see that image show up on your website. And a great example of that is, you know, links to iTunes, your iTunes link, and if you have anything on Stitcher or just your RSS feed, you know, you can have a button like that. So that's a very visual thing, but does that make sense to you?
No, it doesn't. You're speaking Chinese.
Okay. Well, the good news is without being a blatant plug, I have a tutorial at the School of Podcasting that'll walk you through that entire thing. That's one of the things we do at the School of Podcasting. Do you have a website? Well, obviously you have a website. How far are you into to your website? How long have you had it?
I've had it for a month and I'm just building it now.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, it is unfortunately trying to tell you how to do something very visual, but you basically start a page or a post, you know, upload your image like you're going to post it. And then you just, instead of posting it, you just switch and grab the code. Jim, do you know of any other way to do
it? No, I think you're explaining it well. I think, you know, when you're new to WordPress, you just got to work with it. You got to learn some things and get real familiar with it and dig into the back end some. And, you know, there's nothing better than experience. So yeah. Just keep working with it.
And I'm sorry, I didn't catch your name. Is this Dave?
Yeah, Dr. Dave.
Dr. Dave, yeah. So, you know, if you want, you can sign up at the School of Podcasting, use the coupon code LISTENER, and that'll get you a percentage off there at that. But it is just a matter of noodling with it. You could also, you know, maybe try YouTube. There might be a video of somebody showing it there, because it is unfortunately kind of a visual thing, but that's how you do it. I just realized it sounds like I'm speaking Greek here in the event.
Yeah, well, there's some, you know, if you're not familiar with the references that you made into WordPress,
right?
It's tough to get the visualization. I mean, there's some things in there you need to know. So yeah. Dig into that. You know, we record this too, so you can come back and listen to it again. And
yeah, that's true. And speaking of that, want to let you guys know, obviously we're here Saturday every morning, 10:30 a.m. And the actual show is probably going to be posted probably Monday nights. The problem I'm running into is I usually record the School of Podcasting on Saturday, and now I'm doing the School of Podcasting and Ask the Podcast Coach, which is kind of pushing the School of Podcasting into Sunday. And that's pretty much a dedicated family day for me. And my family has pointed out that, hey, do you know you're missing an action on Sunday?
Yeah.
So I think I'll probably post it on Monday nights, because Monday is a dedicated podcast, or as my wife calls it, a Dave Cave evening. So there you go. Dave, did you have any other questions?
You must have dropped off.
All right. Well,
I was rolling through some of the new equipment before Dave came in over the holiday. So I mentioned I got that Logitech C920, which is a really nice webcam. So if you're a video podcaster, probably one of the better ones that you can get out there. That's and the price has come down. I was surprising. I looked that up on Amazon, and it used to be the $99 range, and it's now in the $70 range. So not a bad wow. purchase. And then a huge surprise, Dave, and this is, you know, you're talking about you in the pre-show, we're talking about doing more and more live. And with a nice webcam, of course, lighting is everything. And I'm, you know, we're most of us are in a room, we're in a dark room, we're in a soundproof room, right? One of those kinds of things, or maybe not so soundproof. And so a buddy of mine sent me a lighting rig, Cowboy Studios.
Yeah.
Less than $100, two big white umbrellas with some 245-watt bulbs behind them that it's the temperature of the sun. No, just kidding. They're LED or they're fluorescent, but it is bright when you turn those things on in here. And so that really, these webcams are very light hungry. You know, they want a lot of light. And they're less than $100. So it's not a bad little upgrade for a podcaster that's interested in improving their live, you know, just kind of their live presence. And then my wife picked up for me a dual monitor mount that we got for $50 on Amazon. And, you know, so it supports two of the three monitors I have on my desk here, puts those together and real nice, clears off the desk of, you know, monitor stands, basically gives me some free stuff there. So yeah, it was a good, Christmas was good to me for sure.
Very, very cool. Yeah. Lighting is, I don't know who made the lighting I have in my studio, but it's the stands are really cheap and things like that. But I've heard about what was it, Cowboy? What was the
Cowboy Studios?
Yeah, I've heard their stuff is pretty decent and not not too overly priced.
No, so. It's real reasonable. This setup that I got, I think, is 70 or 80, depending where you buy it. And you know, it's an easy setup. I had it set up in 5 minutes, and it does tear down. I wouldn't, you know, it's I wouldn't take it on the road. It's not road quality kind of stuff.
Right.
You
know, that's it. The stuff I have, I don't know who made it, but it's like, it, you know, it came broken. And luckily the company sent me, there was something that was plastic that snapped. And so they overnighted me a piece. They were really good and they backed it up. But I was like, yeah, if I had to take this stuff on the road, I mean, it came with a case to take it with it, but I'm like, yeah, this is not roadworthy.
Oh, no, you would not. Yeah, you would not do that.
All right. So we got another caller. Let's see. Ending in 4301. You are on the show.
It's still Dr. Day.
Okay. It's still Dr. Day. Oh, all right. I thought you were 8733. No, guess not.
No.
Well, Dave,
what do you think about OptiPress?
OptiPress?
2.0.
Okay.
OptiPress 2.0.
Do you mean Optimize Press? Or Optimize, whatever it is. The theme, are you talking about the theme I'm using on the School of Podcasting?
That's correct.
Yeah, I wouldn't use it. In fact, here's something I found today. Okay. I found I said in my last School of Podcasting show, I'm gonna rebuild it from the ground up. I love the School of Podcasting. The content's great. I've gone to other membership sites, and I just know I can do it better. And I'm gonna launch kind of which is hilarious because I'm overweight, but I'm gonna try coaching people in fitness. That's a whole nother thing I won't get into. But I made another website last night, illogicallosers.com, if you want to see it. And I'm using a Genesis theme, but I'm using the same tool, which is called Digital Access Pass for my membership site, which is the same thing I used on School of Podcasting. And whatever it's called, Optimize Press, has a whole thing built for membership sites. And it's really cool because there's like, here, is this on in the membership site or the front end? The membership site or the front end? Well, that sometimes gets a little crazy because you have to think about, wait, where am I putting this, on the inside or the outside? And I found out that using Digital Access Pass, if I block a page and say this is only for members only, it doesn't even show up in the menu system. And I was just like, wow, this is so much easier without using a quote membership site kind of plugin, that it just goes back to kind of one of my mantras that I'm trying to get back to, which is just keep things easy. And the thing with Optimize Press, I have to pick what kind of template I'm using. Is this a sales template? Is it a funnel template? Is it a blah, blah, blah template? And it's like, you know what? I don't use sales funnels. I don't use squeeze pages. And if I do, I'll make my own. Yes, they make those things easy, but I just want to protect the content that I want protected, and I want it to look nice and go there. And so I bought Optimize Press 2, was very disappointed to find out that you can't upgrade from Optimize 1 to Optimize 2. In other words, that's right, another fun-filled learning curve. And I'm going to look into that. That's one of the things I'm going to be doing next week, just to see, okay, it's a great tool, at least one was. Maybe this is something I want to implement into 2, but right now I'm like, hey, you know what? This works. It looks good and it's simple. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. But what was your question? I'll see if I can answer it, because I don't have a lot of information about 2. I bought it, looked at it, and was like, oh, this isn't going to be an easy upgrade. And I just saw a learning curve. And at the time, I was like, well, I bought it because I wanted to make sure. And we're going to be talking about backing up and getting hacked here a little bit. But I just want to make sure I was on the latest, greatest version. But what's your question about it? And I guess he's gone again. Okay. Maybe
you answered his question.
Yeah. Maybe I did. Yeah. So
how good is your control, Dave, of, you know, as we talk, when we first started doing the show, right, we were just all testing all this equipment. Right. So what are you using to bring callers in?
I'm using Call-In Studio, and I can see I've got 2 people in the queue. One has been on 1409, has been on hold for 3 minutes, and 4724 has been on hold for 2. And I can see where there have been 2 terminated calls. Hmm.
So you do have some control over it. Seems like, you know, we brought in Mike Phillips via Skype, and that was a really good connection.
Yeah.
Sure, we've had a really great connection yet with this call-in studio.
No, it's...
Can you remember a call that was good? I can't.
No, that or you know, it's just the fact that, you know, it's like you said, maybe I answered his question, and he's going to listen to it. Yeah. So...
It's all good. Well, he was having trouble. I mean, the quality wasn't great, so we were having trouble bringing him in.
Well, let's try. We'll try 1409.
Bring him in.
And I always got to remember there may be a bit of a delay as well. So, caller 1409, you are live on the show. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, Dave. Dave, you're a new one here.
How are you?
Fine. I was listening. So you're using Call-In Studio for this?
Yes.
And could you bring that into a Hangout?
That is a good question. The only way I could do that, I could, kind of like what I'm doing now, is I'm calling in to Call-In Studio via Skype. Skype and Jim are both on my laptop. The laptop, the audio from that is, so I would have a hard time right now. Like, if you and Jim were talking at the same time, I'm pretty sure Jim would be much louder than you are. So I've got my hand on the volume knob, because I had to turn you up. So when Jim talks, I'll have to turn it back down. But that whole, myself and Jim and you are all going into a mixer, which then goes into, in this case, it's a Griffin iMic, which goes into Mixler and Spreaker and the School of Podcasting.fm. And then I have one more output that goes into my portable recorder, which is actually the recording I use for the show. So it'd have to go into your mixer, and then you send the mixer into a Hangout. Is this Michael? See here again.
We should have him always state their name. They have to state your name when you come in so we know who you are.
Well, that's me. I was thinking about that when I did this. You know how, you know, Phil Donahue was always, you know, Or who was Frazier, you know?
Yeah.
What do you say? Thank you, I'm listening, or something like that.
Right. Yeah.
I need to
know your name. So
I need to come up. Yeah. State your name and your question, please.
And state your podcast. That'd be good. So state your name, state your podcast.
Yes.
At Gallup, we call that a focus on you.
All right. So 14, I think it's Michael. I think this is Michael Kicking Bear. I believe. Is that you're back on the air. I think it's Michael. 14.
I'm holding this time because evidently there's a delay. I did introduce my name, but evidently there's a delay. This is Gary Leland from...
Oh, Gary Leland. There you go. Potter. There you go.
And, you know, just so you'll know, happens again. After you start speaking about 30 seconds, I got a busy signal and it hung up. And so just to give you information there.
That's helpful. That makes sense, because we always lose them after we...
But it was working fine, everything was going fine, and all of a sudden it was a regular busy signal, and then I was disconnected.
Interesting. Well, see, the fun thing, I can put a note right here that, you know, that number is Gary, so I know that's Gary. interesting.
Hopefully this comes out on as a podcast or something, so I can listen to your answer.
Yeah. Well, what was your question? I forget now, Mr. Short-Term Memory here.
How can I book Hangout?
Yeah. You basically, I just run everything into a mixer. You, Jim, and myself are going into a mixer that goes out of the mixer into a USB input, and then the USB input goes into, in your case, the Hangout. So you'd have to go into the settings of the Hangout and say, here's what I'm using for a microphone. And in my case, I'm using a Griffin iMic.
Okay.
I would think you would just be able to call if it's a Hangout on air. Of course, you can't make the phone call out. Right. That's the problem, is you can't call it directly from the Hangout.
Right. And I know there was some discussion about this, and somebody was saying Google Voice might be a solution, but I don't know that you can bring a Google Voice number into the Hangout any easier than you can something else. One of the things I'm looking for in 2014, I was in Best Buy this weekend, and I've heard people talk about Magic Jack, where you get basically a phone number with voicemail for, I think it's $20, $29 a month, or $29 a year, and then the actual unit is $50, but it plugs into your router, and I thought, you know, that might be a way I could have you know, the phone number would go into a channel, and then Jim would have his own channel, then I would have my own channel, so I could adjust, you know, I'd have a little more control over the volume of the caller. In this case, you and Jim are in the same channel.
I'll have to try this call in studio out. I haven't messed with it very much to give it a try. Most of the time we bring our folks in, you know, just via Skype or a Hangout, and that seems to work a lot better.
Gary, how's everything going with the magazine? I'm actually started my first draft of the thing. So
great. Yeah, we're just building all the background stuff. Everything's about ready to go. As far as iTunes is concerned, right now we're building graphics for the different writers' pages and stuff like that. But yeah, everything should be fine on the 15th of February. We should have the first issue out.
Got it.
And I think within months we'll be on Android too, so it won't be just Apple anymore. It'll be Apple and Android.
And so, what's the address for that?
Pottertainment.com.
Pottertainment. It's going to be a...
entertainment.
There you go. It's a... going to be a digital magazine for podcasters, and yours truly is a contributing writer. So awesome.
I think I've had that filmmaking for 8 years. I'm finally going to use it.
There you go. Awesome. Anything else we can help you with?
I just wanted to know, I'm not familiar with this system you're using for the call-in. So I just wanted to know that about Hangouts.
I need to make a video.
Love the show, Dave.
All right.
I'll let you get back to other people. Enjoy the show.
Thanks, Gary. All right, so I'm actually dropping Gary in this case. That's interesting, though. We do have another caller. It's just bing, bang, boom here today. Yeah. All right, so and apparently there is a delay, which I kind of expected. So 8838, you are on the...
Hi, David.
How are you?
This is Dr. Dave, and I feel like I'm stalking or harassing you.
Okay.
But FYI, getting dropped.
Okay.
I've been cut off twice when you started to answer my questions. I'm calling through the normal Skype channel, and I'll just get dropped as you start answering my questions, so I can't follow up with anything. And when I'm on hold, I've been dropped off once.
Well, that's not good. Hence, Magic Jack is needed.
Something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. Well, that's good feedback.
Yeah, the other thing I thought of using, it's just a hassle, is there's a service called free, I think it's just as simple as freeconferencecalling.com. And I would never use it to record a podcast, even though you could. It's like blog talk radio quality, but they have a really great web interface where you can mute people and things like that. So it's made for obviously a conference call. And so you could do that. The bad news is when, you know, I could redirect my 888-563-3228 number in, and, but then you have to have like a conference code, which I'm trying to remember if you need that on Blog Talk Radio or not. I know there's, you know, there's the host number. I don't know that the caller needs to type in a, you know, 1765 or something conference line or things like that. But I thought about using that. I've used that back in the day. When the School of Podcasting first started, we used to have roundtables on that service. And it was really cool because I could mute people if I needed to. And because you'd have somebody that would call into line and then their dog goes berserk in the background. So it was kind of cool that you could mute people and you could see where they were. But anyway, so that's disturbing feedback. But
yeah, it's good feedback. I mean, we haven't really pushed this call-in idea very hard at all. Most of the shows have been us chatting about stuff, and we've taken a few callers that have come that way. You know, as I was sitting here, Dave, let's kind of open this up for a topic real quick.
Yeah.
Is the call-in, I mean, you know, you and I, right, the call-in idea is cool because we grew up with it in the 80s.
Right.
Right. Has that day come and gone? I mean, I think there's a million better digital ways to connect than a phone call.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's one, you kind of wonder, hey, wouldn't this be a lot easier if we just had Skype call in, you know, and people could, because almost everybody's got Skype.
Yeah.
And so all of a sudden you start thinking, wow, what about a Skype call in queue? How would you do that? You know, how would you set that up where people could they could ping you on Skype and you just dial them back, right? And
yeah. And there's a Oh man, there's a thing on Spreaker where somebody did a thing where they had two different Skype accounts and they would somehow, I forget how they did it, but they somehow transferred from one Skype account to another or something really bizarre like that. But I remember them, you needed a call screener basically to handle one Skype account and that whole nine yards. So,
well, I would think, just kind of thinking out loud here, because as I see, do some of my best thinking just kind of out loud. You know, so you've got your Skype window, you've got your Skype account up and you're in it. And then if someone wants, you know, you give out your Skype ID, right? Hey, you know,
right,
make a contact here, bam, you, I want to say circle them, but that's the wrong motif there. But you get them all set up and then you know, you call them and bring them on. You know, when you're done, you hang up that call and you can, as people are contacting you during the show via Skype, those will show up in your Skype contact list.
Right.
And you can just create all those. You can just bring each one of them in and you get a dynamite crystal clear connection, just like I'm coming in to you. So I don't know.
It's an idea. It would be nice. You know, except if you have somebody who's completely brand new to podcasting, then they have no microphone and they may not have a Skype account, but it's, I like the option.
But even they can, well, yeah, sure it does. If I doubt, though, the people that listen to this show are not going to have the cable. It's a podcasting show.
Right.
You know, so it's again, one of those ways of thinking about quality. And, you know, we're thinking about this just because you as a podcaster are thinking, what are the different ways that I can connect to my, you know, to my audience in that? Yeah. You know, Dave, another way to do it, I don't know, I'm just kind of thinking through this, would be to have them submit, hey, I'd like to call in, and they pop in their phone number. If they can only do a phone number, then you call them back on Skype.
That's right? That's what Jillian Michaels does.
Yeah.
Jillian Michaels has people and she's like, look, you have to be available on this Wednesday from this time to this time and we will call you.
Right.
But if you have a question, and then, you know, she has, of course, a whole team that calls them and, you know, gets them set up and ready to go. But that's another way to do it.
You could call, I mean, while I'm babbling, you could call them, set that up,
right?
You know, put mute, set them up, put them on, you know, put basically mute them.
Mm-hmm.
And then, well, hey, maybe we need a call screener. So anyone interested in being a call?
Ryan Parker said he'd be our call screener.
Yeah, well, it would be interesting to see, you know, because that call screener would just be like a producer in the background. And it would be their job to kind of connect these folks, get them in and muted, right, when they come in. And you could do some things to make sure, you know, check their sound quality. I remember I did a call-in show back in the 90s. I called into one and I was surprised just how rude they were before you got on the show, because they were handling all these, you know, these calls coming in. They're like, okay, be ready. What's that echo in the background? Can you get to a better spot? Get over here. Move over there. All right. And then you'd come on and the guests would be like, hey, welcome, caller. You know, it was all calm and collected. But that might be one way of, even for the average user, so to speak, to be able to use Skype, because you can mute your line and then make that call. Yeah. I'd have to still think about that some. But anyways. Okay.
Well, yeah. Hey, we have a question here in the chat from George Jackson. Says, somehow I found myself in the position of producing two of my own podcasts and I got hired to produce a third one. Any advice on tips on juggling these podcast projects? For me, what works for me, we kind of mentioned at the beginning of the show how I have to keep my family life and my podcasting life separate, because my family's important, and that does involve the word no on occasion, as in somebody will say, hey, we've got this project we want you to get involved with, and I'm like, how much time does it take? And I kind of weigh the pros and cons, and sometimes I have to say no, at least at this point in my life. But one of the things that I found that really just made a huge improvement in efficiency is I have dedicated days that my family knows. For me, it's Monday, Thursday, and Saturday morning are the times that I'm just, you know, I'm going to be in my little cave. And I know that on Sunday night, I have, I use the Reminders app on my iPhone, and I come in, I prioritize, and I'm like, okay, here's what I need to do. And then during the week, when I'm, you know, out and about, I use Feedly as my main RSS reader, and I'm constantly saving things and clipping things for the show. And that way, when it comes time to record, I've already kind of done some of my show prep. And then in terms of editing somebody else's show, what I always tell my clients is if you make a mistake, like I do one for on dietandhealth.com. I forget what the that's funny. I can't remember the name of her show. Beverly Meyer. She's well schooled now that she'll do a little chit chat with her guest and she'll say, now we're going to pause for 10 seconds and then we'll start the show. And that makes it super easy for me to go in and I just look for the blank pause and I know everything before that I can delete. So it's, you know, train your clients to, if they make a mistake, it's not a big deal. Just leave a pause after it so you can easily identify those, especially if you have a client who wants you to go through and remove ums and your nose and things like that, because that can really get super time consuming. So, Jim, anything else you could think of?
Yeah, when you get another job, run like the wind.
Yeah, and don't have babies. Yeah. That is the, by far, 2013, the one thing I learned, the number one cause of pod fading is babies. Ask Ray Ortega. Thankfully, Ray started the Podcaster Studio, but he'll be the first to admit that his he still does the Podcaster's Roundtable, but Podcaster Studio, he'll be the first to admit, yeah, he's gone very sporadic in that, and it's due to his lovely 2-year-old. Doggone it.
Yeah, you just got to get super efficient. And, you know, you and I were talking about this in the pre-show. I think you need to get very focused on what you're doing when, in that you're setting a time limit to that, because you can, the problem is, you know, especially in the area of like audio, let's just take audio editing as an example. That can take anywhere between an hour and 3 hours, depending upon how long you give it, right? How much effort you put into it. And when it's done, it's, you know, you eventually you got to cut it off. And so I think you got to say, the busier you get, you got to say, okay, I'm going to work on this show from this time to this time. And when it's done, that's all it is. That's all they get.
Yeah.
And it forces you to get to kind of pick the high spots of the errors or the mistakes or the really bad stuff. And the nitpicky stuff probably stays in, right? You can't generate more hours in a day than 24. That's all that exists. You can't get any more. It's just the way it is. So if you're going to take on more work, you're going to give each bits of those work less quality. And eventually you have to start saying no. If you're in a consulting gig doing this, you do that by raising your prices.
Yeah.
That's how you stop this, right? You say more money, because if, you know, it's all supply and demand. So George, you know, I'd say if you're struggling with that, or if you're in it, trust me, once you start doing this, I said this before, you're like a kid with a hammer and everything looks like a nail, you know?
Yeah.
You think, oh man, I could do a podcast about cleaning out the basement, and I could do a podcast about changing my light bulbs. You know, and you can get carried away.
Yeah,
focus on what you got. Be good at it. Don't overcommit. I set time limits.
I think my record, I think I had 6 podcasts going at the same time at one point, and that was just insane. But everything was like, oh, I'll do this and this will be another podcast and blah, blah, blah. And it was just like, and what I found is you end up with 6 very mediocre podcasts because there are only 24 hours in the day. And so one of the things I've had people tell me that the school of podcasting was just better this year, your podcast. Well, that's because I hacked off half the podcasts I was doing. And the other thing I did, the ones that I didn't want to stop, like I like my weekly web tools show, but if you're a regular listener of that show, I went from reviewing 2 and 3 like tools a show to in some cases 1. It was like, well, I still want to do this show. I just can't do 45 minutes. I'll do 15. And that way I was able to keep my schedule. It's still weekly. I tried for a while doing 1 tool per show and doing 1 on Monday and 1 on Thursday. But with some new things coming down the pike in 2014, it's going to be 1, maybe 2 a show. And
it's tough, Dave. You know, I was just thinking about what I do each week. You know, I do 4 weekly podcasts.
Wow.
Which, you know, I do this one. I have 2 of my own, and I do a 4th one that is that somebody else does, right? Like you. So I'm partner on 2. I have 2 of my own. And then with Gallup, I do one every other week. That's the kind of the big show that we do. And the only way I get that done is, you know, we'll record financial tech sometime on Tuesday morning. Tuesday evening, it gets 1 hour. That's it. 1 hour to get it done. I get in, get it mixed. It's only a 15-minute podcast, so that's real possible. To do. But if it's not getting mixed on Tuesday night, guess what? I'm already behind. So I have to be real diligent to get that done, because I do a podcast on Wednesday night. I do another one on Thursday night. Then Saturdays are my day to do them with you. And typically I get up a little bit early and I start mixing the podcast I did on Thursday, Saturday morning, and I finish it after the show when we're done. And I try to have all that wrapped up by noon. So I've got the afternoon because it can easily consume, right? I mean, it could consume the whole day.
Right.
If you're not careful. Now, the advantages to partnering with people is, Dave, when we're done with this podcast, I don't do anything more. You do it.
Yeah.
And so that's one of those things. If you want to do more podcasts or you've got some more to say, see if you can get a partner to do it with you. And that works out real well. I mean, that works good for you in the sense that this is, I think, has been good for what you're doing from a podcasting standpoint. It's right in your niche. It's good for me because I do a lot of podcasting, so I like to talk about it. So try that out too.
There you go. And then I had one more tip, and it went right in my face and right out the end. Sorry, and
I interrupted you.
No, that's all right. But yeah, good luck with that, and just be careful because it is very, very easy to just turn everything into a podcast. And my tip. What I do is every one of my podcasts, whether it's in Audacity or Audition, whatever you're using, set up what I call a blank template. So when I bring up the School of Podcasting, it already has a track with my theme music, and that track is labeled intro. And then about, I don't know, 40 minutes out, there's another file that says outro, and it's in a track called outro. So that basically all I do, and then the little whoosh thing that I use on the School of Podcasting, that's in another track. So all my files are already there. I don't have to go insert audio. Where's it at? Oh, was it at that folder? And then all I do is I record into my portable recorder. I pause for 10 seconds when it's time for another segment. And I just take that one file, move it to my computer, put it into Audition. And then I've already got my intro, outro music. I just drag and drop all the music to where I want it to go. And that's really the only thing I pick, for lack of a better phrase, live, as I'm mixing it, is I pick different background music to use as transition music. So it's not going to save you a huge amount of time, but it's just nice to go, okay, I'm ready to go. File open. Here it is. Boom. And now you just drag in your stuff.
And nothing makes you better at time than just doing the work to begin with. So as you do it more, you'll get better. By the way, doing all those podcasts, I also do two podcasts I could do consultative work on. So I record their audio for them and I edit those as well. And they are customers that do want every and ah and all that stuff removed, right? So yeah, they're getting longer and longer on their podcast too, which is kind of crazy. But I was mixing it the other night and I was doing it in Audacity and I was watching it and my wife was on the other side of the monitors, you know, and I'd make her giggle because I could predict when they were going to say,
Oh, yeah.
The sound wave looks the same every single time, right? And she would giggle and laugh, and, you know, we had a good time with it. And so you get faster at, okay, here's another and bam, click, drag, control K in Audacity, wipes that thing out. And then you move on, hit spacebar, and you're back on, you know? And so you get faster at it the more you do it. So just be careful not to commit to too, George, don't commit to too much too fast.
Hey, I wanted to bring up, Steve Stearns had emailed me and he was talking about his site had been hacked. And when we were talking before we started the show, I know you said you knew somebody who had gotten hacked with WordPress. So let's talk about that a little bit.
You bet. So my buddy Mike Howard, who I talk about a lot, but he and I are very competitive in podcasting. And by the way, a good tip, have a friend who's very competitive with you, not a rival, but someone who'll be friendly to you competitively. It really helps to have that accountability. To have a friend who's a podcaster who knows what you're going through, who is trying different things. This is why the Podcasters Roundtable is so powerful, because you get a lot of tips and advice, very quickly on some of those shows. But he said, hey, check out this site. And he'd had a whole bunch of sites and one of them had gotten hacked. And it was funny. There was some crazy message up there and we giggled about it. But it really, really important that you are backing up your site in some way, because if you're not backing it up, you got to start that thing from scratch or try to get rid of that they've injected some bad code and you don't really know what's in there and what's not in there. And so you really might want to consider backing up. One of the things I worked on this week is I opened up a new site for myself as well. If you go out to theaverageguy.me, that's my personal blog, and I just moved that onto an Azure platform. That's a whole other topic for another day. But Backup WordPress, the plugin from Human Made Limited, is a plugin that I used that actually backs up that very, very nicely. It backs up both all the files and the SQL database that's on there and drops them onto a location and, you know, where you can get to them via FTP. So hopefully, if you have a website, you've set this up in a way with, if whether you're at IX Web Hosting or GoDaddy or Hostgator, DreamHost or Bluehost or any of those. Dave, who do you recommend? What's your, who do you have an affiliate link with?
I like Hostgator. If you go to schoolofpodcasting.com/hosting, that'll take you right there. You can use the coupon code podcastcoach, all one word, to save 25% off.
So you'll get some access. You'll get some FTP access then to be able to see those files. Once they back up, they sit there. You know, they sit there on the web server, which is, there are other plugins that are available that'll move those things off to like Dropbox or some other places. And you can use, I've tried those plugins. This one just, I love the drop dead simpleness of the backup. It's worked really well for me. In fact, I had a situation where when I was moving the site this week, I backed it up on the old site. I grabbed that, all the files and the backup of the SQL. And I just moved it onto the new site and I ran some tools. That's pretty, it's pretty complicated. I'll be honest with you. That's not something we want to talk. You'll be asleep by the time.
What was the name of that plugin? I was actually checking out your website, theaverageguy.me. That's really cool looking.
.me. That's my personal blog, right? That's where I go out. And if I want to talk about my running or if I want to talk about, those kinds of things, that's where I post it. But it's Backup WordPress, all one word, Backup WordPress. And they're currently on version 2. Human Made Limited is who makes that. And it's just drop dead simple. When you, you know, in your tools, it creates a backup section for you. Mm-hmm. And you can tell it to either back up the files, back up the SQL database, or back up both. And it's got a variety of schedules. You can run it for everywhere from once a day to once an hour to once a week. And then it spins those things up in the background and drops them on that creates a backup folder for you in your file structure. On your host provider. Now, what I do for that, because I want to get those files off the host provider in case that host provider went down or is compromised or what have you. I want to move those things off. And I actually use this service called mover.io. Okay, that's going to be really odd. But if you check that out, mover, mover.io. And what they are is they're a service that can attach to any cloud service provider and move it from one place, including an FTP location, which is where your files are on WordPress, from an FTP to anything, right? Now, they partner with Copy.com. That's a company that does cloud storage. They're like Dropbox or Box or any of those other, SkyDrive, Google Drive. They're a lot like that. But since they partner with Copy, you get free movement of those files from my FTP location. And it's a lot like, have you ever used that service called If This Then That, Dave, where you can set up different triggers? If somebody tweets you, you can post it to your Facebook. Have you tried that before?
I've heard of it. I've never used it.
Well, this is a lot like that in the sense is it's just a super easy interface where you say, you give it your FTP information. So here's where the files are at on my server. And I want to move them to this spot in the cloud. And I want you to do it once a day. And you set that up and it's free, which is really cool. If you move them on to Copy, it's free. They give you 10 gig of movement for free.
Wow.
So once a day, I just move those files off my FTP into Copy. And, I've got access to those, they're being stored in the cloud. And I actually, here at the house, I've got a server that then resyncs that. So those files actually come down locally. So they're sitting on a local file server here. So I know that's really technical and a little bit nerdy, and that's just kind of if you listen to my podcast, that's just kind of the way I am. it's a cool way, I think, and an easy way, very easy. This is very average guy stuff to be able to get your files off your FTP server or off the host provider and somewhere in the cloud where you can get to them again. So if my site got hacked or compromised, I would just go into the FTP and wipe it out, and then I would grab these files here at home and I would use my like FileZilla or whatever you use, the C panel there at your host provider. I would push all those files back up to the host provider. Then I'd run a little SQL tool to re-energize, to reload the database, so to speak, and bring it back to the last time it was updated. And then I'd be back in business. And in theory, I could do that in about an hour.
Very cool. Now, something else we should probably talk about is what can you do to avoid being, hacked? And the one thing that I just cringe when I see is I think by default, certain places when you install WordPress will make the admin number or admin login name admin. And you definitely do not want to use the login name admin, because you've basically, there are two things they have to guess. One is the login name and the other one is the password, and you've just made it 50% easier. Right. So never use admin as your login name. And then the other one is the time I got hacked, it was a website I'd completely forgotten about. And WordPress had just been way, 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 way outdated. And it's super easy to update WordPress these days. Just go in and click on update, and you're good to go. But if you don't keep up with that, it's always amazing when I'll log into a client site and it's just nothing but, you know, pop-ups of this is outdated, this is outdated. I'm like, why aren't you updating your website? Oh, I didn't know if I should or not. I'm like, oh, yeah, you'll get hacked if you don't. So that's probably one of the things.
Keep it up to date for sure. Yeah. And I would delete that admin account, to be honest with you. So yeah. I would set up your own account and then go in and delete the admin role. Just take it out. Or create a password that you don't even know. You know, just randomly type in a bunch of numbers and letters and stuff, but delete it. Get rid of it. It's the easiest way for them to get in.
And then,
Dave, there are some services, right, that I think you've talked about before that help you, that will help manage your site for you and keep it up to date for you.
Yeah, there is WPCommander.com is a tool that if you have multiple sites, it's really cool because you log into one dashboard and it'll say you have three plugins on this site, two on that one, and this one's running 3.5 WordPress. And you can just update all your websites from one dashboard. It's really, really, I think it's like $10 a month. But I'll put a link to that out in the show notes. But there's a bunch of them. I think lift.com is another one. All the same kind of idea. You basically, if you're managing multiple websites or if you're somebody who's a consultant and you're working on other people's websites and they want you to manage it, that's something that I should probably start offering people. Would you like me to manage your WordPress site for you?
You have all the, you know, when you're setting up their site, right? Initially, you've got a lot of that information to help get that going. And then you could just check in once a month and make sure, because that's the thing you forget, especially if you're podcasting and you're not checking your site a lot.
Yeah.
You got to go into that admin panel and I wonder if there's a plugin, a notifier plugin. That would be awesome. That runs on the site and it notifies you every time you have an update and it doesn't stop notifying you until you fix it.
Ah, they just pesters you. Mike's in the chat room. He makes a great point. Delete plugins you're not using. The last time I got hacked, I have it's a webinar plugin where I could actually I don't like it because I think it's kind of fake, but I could record a webinar and then have people scheduled to view it. And it looks like I'm live, but I'm not. It's kind of shady. And so I didn't use it, but I had installed it, looked at it and was like, okay, I see what this does. And if I decided to do that, I would just come out and say, I'm not live. It looks like I'm live, but I'm not. You're watching a recording, blah, blah, blah. Mm. But I was still on my site. It was deactivated even, but I never deleted it. Well, because it was still there, it left a small, you know, crack in the door. And they were able to get through that. I don't know how, you know, I'm not a hacker, but somehow they got through that plugin into my website and things just went weird. And when HostGator was the people I called in, I'm like, look, I need a backup, you know, of this and that. Because I had a backup, but it was a couple days old. And I think they back up every day. So they're able to get me back up. And they said, they put it to their, you know, super nerd tech guys. And they said, yeah, here's the problem. This plugin is outdated. Even though it's deactivated, you know, you need to get that either updated or delete it. So,
yeah, you know, that's a good point, Dave, that you make. Your host provider might be keeping a backup for you.
Yeah.
So that's something worth, you know, checking into. It's like most people don't know that their ISP, you know, their internet service provider, actually has some cloud storage for them. Most people don't know that. So if you go to if you log in at your account at your internet service provider, chances are, and they have antivirus tools and they got some stuff that it's all free, right? We're under a lot of pressure years ago to provide these services for their customers. And if you're not using cloud storage, they might have 10 or 20 gig available for you if you're afraid of some of these other cloud services. But your internet, your host provider might also be backing it up for you. So check your cPanel, right? That's where you log in to kind of administrate your site. And see, there's usually a backup tab somewhere if they're doing it for you. And check in on that. And they usually keep maybe a week's worth and then maybe one a month and then maybe one a year. That would be great if they did something like that. That's a good routine to do. You know, keep dailies, then one. So you have four in a month and then 12 in a year and then maybe one from last year. That'd be a great backup strategy to have. But check with that. They might be doing it for you. I wouldn't rely on that, though. I'd still have my own.
Absolutely. And I'm going to try something fun. I'm going to hang up on the call-in studio in Skype. I'm just dying to know if this makes a noise. And it doesn't. Okay, so there we go. We've done that. Because I know the other thing you wanted to talk about, and I thought, okay, we're not going to be taking any more calls today, is you found some really cool stuff about speeding up your website.
Yeah. Yeah. So I had no idea, you know, the one of the guys, Christian Johnson, one of the guys I podcast with over on Home Tech. So theaverageguy.tv, and then look for the Home Tech podcast. He's 19. He's a freshman at the University of Maryland, and the kid is just super smart. And speed is his name, right? He just cannot get enough speed. And he's actually helped me do a lot of my host providing over the last couple of years. And we were having some trouble with one of the providers that we were on. And so he just opted. He's like, you know what, Jim, I'm taking this into my own hands. And so he's got a pretty good internet connection at home, and he set up a little web farm at home and moved theaverageguy.tv over to that, as well as a couple other sites. And Dave, it is lightning fast. I mean, I cannot believe, I didn't know the internet could be this fast. If you go out to theaverageguy.tv, it literally, for me, pops up. I mean, the data, the posts are bam, they are just there. It's super, super quick. And, you know, I thought, well, that's cool. I mean, speed's not that important, is it? You know, I was kind of, as he was pushing me to do this, I was just like, okay. Well, let me tell you how important it is. Because as the stats started coming in on this, one of the things that just stood out like a sore thumb was my bounce rate. And Dustin was talking about stats here in the chat earlier. So Dustin, this is for you around the stats. These are some things that you get free in Google Analytics. So if you just go out to google.com, search analytics, sign up, you'll use your Gmail account, get in there, they'll give you some code, you put it on the header on your usually after the header tag, I think that's where you put it, in your WordPress site. But anyways, once you get the stats rolling, I've been running a pretty consistent bounce rate. Now, that's the percentage of people who hit the site and then leave within, I think, 5 seconds or something like that. It's a defined. And so what that means is they never are looking at your content. So you get a count, they show up as a visitor because they did show up, but they're bouncing. So in my case, I get about 2,500 unique visitors a month, let's say. Well, in my case, 60% of those on average were just going, right? Well, why have a site if you're going to lose over half of your people
right, who
are going to stay on, right? So we put the new server in, and my numbers went from 60%, and I was running these. This is the last week. So 11%, 4%, 7%, 7%, 4%. Yesterday it was 1.4%. So my bounce rate went from 60% to below 10% in most cases. And
wow.
Took my page views from an average of 1.5 to 3, right? So now my visitors are staying. There's one, they're staying longer. Two, they're seeing more pages, right? So that, you know, and three, there's more engagement in that. And so, you know, you can do all the work that you want with SEO. And we've talked about SEO a lot, and I love talking about SEO here on the program. You can do all the SEO you want. If they're dropping, because what happens is they find you in Google and they click on your link. And then if it takes 3 or 4 or 5 seconds, they're gone.
Yeah, that's right? It.
They're done. They're like, okay, this guy, out. Well, it's like you got them and then you just let them go. And so, you know, we're a week into this, and I'll continue to watch my stats, but, I was not a believer in site speed until I saw, and if you look at my Google graph, Dave, I mean, it's straight across 60% over the month, and then we put the new server in and it just runs to the floor. And so when you look at that, you go, okay, something that's got to matter. And you can start seeing my pages per visit was at like 1.6. It's now at 1.9. If for that time period, for that 30 day. And if you look at it over the last week, it's 3.05 or something like that. So I've never seen those kinds of visits. So how do I get all that? I get it through Google Analytics. And so it's a really easy way to check your stats. I think Dustin was talking about, for his podcast. Well, this doesn't track my individual podcasts. I need to use Blueberry to do that if I want to, you know, the individual podcast. But my site is mostly my podcasts. So I kind of blend it together at that point and say, yeah, there's some demographical information, there's some geo information, there's how they're coming, how they're visiting it, what browser they're using, what kind of technology. So if you're a podcaster and you're not taking advantage of the power of the free stats that come with Google Analytics, you absolutely should.
Very cool. Dustin wants to know, how did you get your site to load faster? I guess it's just a different machine or?
It's dedicated. So it's dedicated hardware, right? There's three kinds of service you can get when you first sign up for your podcast. So if you're going to DreamHost or Bluehost or HostGator, chances are if you're getting a cheap, you know, $3 a month or $5 a month plan, you are getting shared hosting, which means you might be sharing your website with 25 other people. And if one of those 25 gets popular, guess what? Your site's going to slow down. It's inexpensive. So there's a second that's like a hybrid between shared and dedicated. They create a VM for you. You're still on. So your site may be the only one on that node, but you're still on a VM on a big server, and you're a bigger fish just in a bigger pond, so to speak. And so that works better. You'll get faster speeds with that as well. But the best is when you have dedicated hosting, which means your site is the only one on that box, and it's going directly to the internet at that point. And that gets very expensive.
Yeah.
That's not cheap.
You go from, you know, $8 a month to, you know, 100 and something, depending on the scenario.
Yes. Yeah. VPS is what you're looking for. Virtual private
service.
A lot of cases, that's what they call that. And actually Mike Howard out there, he does that as well for his photography podcast. And so if your podcast's doing very well, it's a chicken or the egg kind of thing, right? So you say to me, but Jim, if I'm dropping listeners because they're coming to my site and they're not being able to see it and they're bouncing right off, you know, then I got to pay more to, you know, get better service so that they stay. Well, yeah, maybe, you know, you might need to invest some of that capital, so to speak, in making sure that you have the right equipment. In this case, Dave, I've got the best of all worlds in some cases that I'm not even in a big server farm. He's hosting it locally for me on some of his equipment. That's some pretty good stuff. Now, the drawback is it's not super redundant at this point. Right. I'm not in a, this is not Windows Azure, right? Where it's too, which by the way, I've been testing. We'll talk about in future shows.
Yeah. And you are the king of cool WordPress themes. I see you're using, you use a lot of things from newwpthemes.com. Is where that one came from. And I know that there's a great website, wpthemedetector.com. You just put in the website and it says, in this case,
And I have a brand new one too. It's, you know, speaking of doing too much. So if you go to, homegadgetgeeks.com,
all right,
that is a new one that we're moving home to. Oh no, don't do that.
Don't do that.
Well, it's got the standard 2014 theme loaded. I had been working with another theme, during the week, to try and get a more of a three column look. And I really like that theme that was out there, but I've been messing around. That's one of the sites I've been messing around with where I've been using Windows Azure as the host provider. Mm-hmm. Microsoft gives you Microsoft gives you 10 free, that's, you know, friend is 10 free put together, 10 free websites that you can mess around with and load WordPress on. And actually it's a 2-click install for WordPress. It's super, super easy. We should talk about that sometime because I've been messing around with it for the last 45 days or so. And for the beginning podcaster, now one of the things, it's good for websites, terrible for storage. So you still got to find some place to, but you guys recommend that you separate your storage and your website anyways. You know, your MP3s are stored one place and your website stored another. If you're looking to mess around with websites and get those spun up very quickly and try different things out, you can do that on a very robust platform on Azure. So just go to windowsazure.com. Use your Microsoft ID to log in. In fact, for the first month, they'll give you $250 credit on Azure to use. You won't use it if you just use their free websites. But you'll get that first tier, that shared tier that I talked about. You can get that first tier for free. And free is free. I mean, it's nothing.
That's true.
And you can spin up. And like I said, they have a really super easy management console that will allow you to spin up a WordPress instance in about 20 seconds.
Wow.
Yeah, it's crazy good, Dave. It's one of those kind of things I almost want to do a webinar on and just say, hey, look how easy this is. This is really cool. Microsoft has made this. It's the best. Again, poor Microsoft. It's the best kept secret at Microsoft right now.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Very cool.
We're on 10:30.
Yeah, it is. It's about that time. So, hey, Jim, anything you want to plug as we head out the door?
Oh, didn't I do enough? No, I'm good. TheAverageGuy.tv.
And you can find me over at schoolofpodcasting.com. And my next group coaching class, you can find it howtopodcast.com. We meet right after this show, basically, every Saturday for 6 weeks. I walk you through the whole podcast session. And from planning to promoting, all points in between, you can find that over at howtopodcast.com. If you want to join the School of Podcasting, use the coupon code LISTENER. I mentioned that earlier, and that'll get you there. And thanks to the chat room. Thanks to Dustin and Kevin and Mike and everybody else. And Dr. Dave for calling in and calling in and calling in. Poor guy was getting dropped left and right. And Gary. And we're here every Saturday. So any question is open. We kind of, I thought about that today. I'm going to have to stop saying what the show's about, because we really can't predict what the show's about. We just kind of go with whatever you guys call in with. So that's
yeah, we've got some stuff preloaded just in case nobody calls in. Yeah, it ends up going a completely different direction.
It's always fun. So we'll see you. Well, we won't see you next Saturday because I'll be at New Media Expo. So we will see you in 2 weeks back here, schoolpodcasting.com/live, for another episode of the Ask the Podcast Coach. Thanks. We'll see you later.